All right, let's open our Bibles today. We'll start from the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Say, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot. Now, let me just qualify that from verse 1. What he was saying in effect is that anyone who wants to experience the hand of the Lord has to first believe something. Did I hear an amen? Yes, you must have heard something and held on to that thing. That's what opens your life for the manifestation of the word of God. So he said, who has believed our message? And to that person has the arm of the Lord been revealed. Now I'm paraphrasing that now. He said, for he grew up before him like a tender shoot. This is prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, no appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Now, emphasis from verse 4. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. He said, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Now, there's something we have been seeing. Let me just emphasize something that we've said before again. It's very important I say it so that it's in our mind every time. That's the issue of men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I said that there are two sides to this praying. There is a praying for yourself, and there is a praying for other people. In fact, there's something somebody said about the Lord Jesus, that he lived his life in Psalm 23. And I believe that constantly what he did was to utter those words. It's very important. Words are very important. You hear what I said? Words are very important. Words are the things. Maybe I should actually change. No, I won't. Somebody was asking today that it was Israel. Now, what last did we do exhortation? I don't want to. I was almost tempted to start exhorting, but let me just do a prayer thing and then we'll go. Words are very important, I will say. They are the weapons of the Spirit. That is, it's what you say that. Now, there are different ways to look at that issue of the sword of the Spirit. What I want to bring from there is the fact that they are the weapons of the spiritual realm. It's what you say that these are the words that are taken by the angels. Those are also the words that are used by the evil spirits against you or in your favor. Whatever you declare constantly concerning your life, it's what the angels of God take and use to war on your behalf. Are you getting my point? There are war. In fact, today I want to talk about that war concerning your health. All right? What God has said and how you use prayer concerning your health. Look, it's very important we understand this. Life is about overcoming. You know, as a doctor, one of the things we learned is that, you see, around you, there's war all the time. Do you know what I'm saying? There's war from bacteria. That is the only time you know those who are really losing the war. No, not the only time. A good illustration of understanding those who have really lost the war are those that have what they call AIDS. AIDS just means that the person's ability to defend himself has disappeared. So we say he has an immune deficiency or fighting deficiency syndrome. Do you understand what I mean? That's just an example of what life is. There are always evil issues out there trying to attack. And the principle of the scriptures or life is that of overcoming. The man that gets the victory is the man that overcomes. What I mean is this. The man that God rewards is the man that overcomes. Are you getting my point? It's not the person who challenges never came to. It's the person who challenges came to and was able to overcome those challenges. So we're talking about matters of divine healing. That's what I want to bring up in our prayer beginning from today. That, see, is those words that you speak about your life constantly that the angels use to fight on your side. There are plagues driving up and down. When the time comes that they want to attack you, it is what you have said in previous times. Please, I need to say this. Now, the words that you say at that time is important. But I think, this is my opinion, more importantly, are the things that are built up in your heart and things that you have said before then. In fact, the words you say at that point is actually as powerful as what has been settled in your heart before then. And there's something I've been saying again and again. Words, let me put it like this. A man either has faith or he doesn't have it. Are you getting my point? Either you have faith or you don't have it. You have it. What it means is that you build yourself up, like James said, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. That is, you pray, you build yourself up on your faith before the time that you need to activate that faith for a particular thing. Now, I'm talking about the matter of divine health. Now, that's why I read this particular portion of the scriptures. And I also said something that I want to say again, that faith, all right? Last time I talked about not doubting. Can you remember that? I talked about not doubting. And I said that not doubting means that you've made up your mind concerning what you want. All right? That's one side to it. We have always looked at doubt as a matter of not doubting the power of God. That is true. That's very correct. I just want to bring another side to it. The one I brought forth last time was the issue of having made up our minds concerning what we really want. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? Very, very important. So I'm saying that all those things put together, they build up a solidity in your heart so that when pressure is put upon you, when a demand is made upon you to speak, is what you now say as a result of what's inside your heart that has effect. Not that which you speak because maybe you came for Bible study and somebody says, say after me. Are you getting my point? Or something that you heard, that this is the way Christians talk, so you just say it and it's not rising from the center of your heart. And I said that the only way you will have a solidity of faith is if your expectation is based upon the word of God and not just upon desires. Because if it's just desire, it wavers with time. Do you understand my point? No, it really does. After watching too much movie, you may want to be like Hulk Hogan. All right? It's true. You want to have all the muscles and everything and be like Hulk Hogan. Then a day comes in which you see a man that's very nice and slim and tall and his suit fits him very well. You want to shed all the fat in your body and all the small muscles you have gained. Do you follow my point? And that's what the Bible calls double-mindedness. That is sometimes go, you're like, okay, what do you want me to do for you now? Do you get my point? Today you want to be like this, tomorrow you want to be like that. That's human desires for you, all right? If desires are not based upon things that are very real, they change up and down. So that I'm explaining the fact that we have to solidify our desires in the word of God, all right? Listen, this is how prayer is. Prayer comes forth not first out of desires, but first out of what? Knowledge, revelation, understanding of what God has said. How many of you have read the tract, A Prayer for Your Healing? Some of our oldest tracts, okay, we don't have any copies, all right. But you can download, if you go browsing, that means on the website, you can download it, all right? But we'll try and make copies. What I want to share now is actually inside that tract, all right, at least beginning to share from today. So what have I said so far? Well, we want to examine the promises. So this is what we do in prayer. I was talking about words, building up our faith before then. What we do is that we soak the promises of God into our hearts. Do you understand my point? And that is what builds up expectation. Do you understand me? That's what builds up expectation. For example, there are things that God has said about the vigor of your youth being maintained into old age. So anytime maybe you are watching TV, you are reading a book, and they are explaining to you the problems of old age, you shouldn't believe them. Not because they don't have reasons, but remember what Isaiah said. He said, who has believed our message? Or King James said, our report. I like the word report because it helps me illustrate what I'm about to say. Everything in life gives a report. That's what I'm trying to explain. Everything in life gives a report. The only thing, what God has given you as your own ability to control the events of life is to choose the report that you will believe. Do you understand my point? Listen, everything in life gives a report. Like I said before, Abraham's body gave a report. Do you understand? It gave him a report. What did he say? He said to God, what do you give me since I have discovered from the report of my body and the things around me that I will die childless? That was a conclusion based on a report he had heard. Then another word came forth. Do you understand me? And that word said to him, you will not die childless, but you will have a son. Indeed, Sarah will bear you a son. And Abraham believed God, you know, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So in hope, the Bible says he believed against hope. That is, a new expectation was given to him by the new word that he had. Don't forget that. Look, I'm a doctor and I like that very much because it helps me to... Nobody can bamboozle me with big English. Do you get my point? Yes, anything you know. I probably know more than it anyway, so what's the big deal? No, what I'm saying is very important. The emphasis there is that I, having had that basic understanding of physical things, I also have a spiritual understanding. Are you getting me? And based upon that, I make my statements. I utter words into my environment. Please, listen, the matter of prayer we have been saying is not something that you just do only once. Have you said your morning prayers today? Morning prayers are good. They are important. Please, what I'm saying is important. They are very good. They are important. But then, the Bible says that men ought always to pray, all right, and not faint. That is, the word is always. Paul said it like this, pray without ceasing. You can pray without ever stopping. And how do you do that? Many methods, but the one we are focusing on is by the constant words that you speak, especially in the face of every report that life is giving you. You know, there's what I've used for illustration several times. One day I was playing and I bent over a stick. And one lady that was there, a relative of mine, she was joking. Say, Doc at 60. And I was, believe me, I know she was joking, but I didn't find it funny. Do you get my point? There are things you don't say. They are not funny, really. Do you get my point? They are not funny. Like at 60, I will be bending. It's not funny. I shouldn't laugh about it. I won't laugh with you. Right, if I can't answer you back, I will just go away from your presence and go and answer the air that you release the words into. I use my own to counteract it sharp. All right, but whichever way, it will not go unreplied. But this person, I answered her very well. I straightened my back and looked her in the face. I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like that of an eagle. And I said, I will never bend. I finished it like that. Do you understand? The first word was the word of God. Then I now added my own word to it. Do you understand? That is, God, I agree with you. I said, God, I agree with you. I said, I will never bend. Now, let me say something to you, maybe to help you. It is not as if I go and do things that will make sure I don't ever bend. I have said I will never bend. The words have gone forth. A day will come, diseases flying around that make men bend will come near my nose. And one angel will say, you are trespassing. He will take the words I spoke years ago, pull it out of where it has been sheathed, and said, he will never bend. And I will never know that encounter took place. Are you getting my point? It's very vital. It's very vital. We draw our desires based upon what God has spoken. And that's why I brought this one up today, talking about praying for our divine health and divine healing. Let's not forget something. Actually, everybody easily gets carried away. And I want to just bring this one up to us. There was a time where, as we're growing up in the body of in the school of faith, it was as if to take medicine was a sin. Now, people finally say that it's not wrong. I agree. But you know the interesting part? I prefer those times. I'm sorry. I am sorry. And now it's as if it's a sin to refuse medicine. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. That time they said, they made it seem as if, what's wrong with you? You are drinking Panadol. You should rebuke that pain and let it go, you know. It's extremism. They are extremists. Now, listen, I agree with that. I believe that some things were extremes because what we're doing sometimes was to force people who didn't have the faith to take actions that were not coming out of their faith. Do you understand? But what I want to say is this. I prefer those times to what is going on right now, in which we have gone to the other extreme. What is the other extreme? God doesn't heal again. Only doctors heal. Say, pray that the medicine that the doctor has given you will work. It's actually lack of faith. Don't stop trying to pretend as if you have sense more than everybody else. A friend of mine told me this when we were in school, that you are not even serious. What is it? He said, you will refuse to take medicine. What you should actually say is that, God, this medicine I'm taking, may it work. I said, it was supposed to work. What's your problem? What faith is there that you have now gone to carry him and say, God, see it? Agree with the doctor so that it will work. Now, actually, you know, for some people it might be fine, all right? But I'm trying to say that then our faith was stretched. And what we're taught, okay, is to get my point, in our hearts to rise up and reach out for the best that God has. And I think as believers, we should go back to that. I'm not saying we should go back and say, I don't take my, listen, it's a matter of fact, I have seen people. I remember my teacher in secondary school, his child died. The child was sick, they didn't give medicine, and they were praying, and they were praying, and they were praying, and the child died.
He said, you see, you should have taken medicine. See, I have seen people who take medicine every day, and as we are giving them the medicine, they also died. So, listen, don't abuse the man. And I have seen people that refused to take medicine, and they lived, and their faith worked. In fact, one of the things that used to happen to me is that when I have given maybe a child of mine, or I remember that time my wife met, and I'm frustrated, I now throw it away and go back to what I knew that worked. And they always work. When out of anger and frustration, I said, I just threw the medicine through the window. I bet enough, Joe. Give me a bottle of oil. and that will always work. But you know, it's like every time you have to exert your faith, so you get that, I say, she ain't a fever. I mean, just take that for now and leave me alone. But there are times which are, you don't take my door, you not go. Take this one, you not go. Ah, what is going on? Then there's this holy anger that just rises up. Say, what nonsense? Abba, because I kept quiet all this while. Now, you are getting what I'm going to explain. But what I'm going to bring up for us today is, all right, let's start, is, you know, he said, building up your faith. How do you say it again? Building up your most holy faith. Yes, that's what I'm going to say. It's important. We should rise up again and build up our faith, all right, in the matter of divine health. On Saturday, as we are going about how Christians get results, I'll come back to the issue of activating prophecies by prayer. This issue of praying without season is very important. Don't run commentary on football without season. Commentary on the economy without season. That's what we do. Commentary on government without season. Commentary on weather without season. And so young guys and young ladies, commentaries on bros and sis without season. All right? But what the Bible says, what? Pray without what? Season. I said that every issue of life demands a response. The response that works, okay, is that which is rooted in the doctrine of God that has entered into your heart. Let me start by saying this. Everything physical has a spiritual, all right, undertone, foundation. If you see something outward, it started somewhere in the realm of the spirit. There are prayers I'm praying for, some of them for years and all of that. I believe I'll get the understanding I'm looking out for. If you see, there are things they call hereditary diseases, genetic disorders. I believe that they were activated sometime along the line because of the sin of some people. So you see, there are diseases that are common amongst certain kinds of people, all right? Amongst Jews, for example, now, all right, let me give you an example. Sickle cell disease is found exclusively among Africans and Asians, all right, essentially, okay? There are some kinds of brain disorders that you find only amongst a certain segment of the Jewish nation. You understand what I mean? As doctors, we study all those kind of things. I look at them. I said, these things began somewhere. If indeed we're all descendants of the same father, Noah, all right, then somewhere along the line was where these problems began. But then, that's not my issue. They came to Jesus and said, who sinned that this guy should be born blind? He said, it's irrelevant. Let us walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when the man cannot walk. Now, this is the point I'm making. Where it began from is not the important thing. It's where it ended. And where did it end? In Christ Jesus. Let me say something. There is nothing like an incurable disease as far as God is concerned. And what Jesus did then, he didn't just do it then. He did them in us then and exists till today. That's why Paul will say that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. You know what he said? He said that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. I explained something to us before. That could not have meant that he wanted to rise up again when he had died. Because he himself prophesied that everybody will rise up again and appear before the judgment seat of God. But what was he explaining? That there is a power of resurrection. All right? Which can enter into somebody's body and change things from the way people thought they should be. Are you getting my point? And he said, there is a place I will enter. I will begin to experience that manifestation. Do you get the point I'm trying to explain? And listen, I believe believers should reach out for that. Every day, you know, when I'm meditating, I think about it. Look, but there's something about, I told you some time ago, I did the study. At the end of the day, I just by listening to the men talk, that is when I say the men, Mohammed's talk, Buddha's talk, all of those kind of people, and the words of Jesus. And you know that it's only the followers of those men that talk these days. If Buddha was alive when Jesus came, he would have submitted to him. No, the wisdom was not on the same level at all. There were claims he made, all right, which, what's our friend's name, Nicodemus, came and explained that, Abba, except God is with you, all right, we can't see this kind of demonstration in your life. And this person made claims that nobody else had the liver. Even people lying before him and after him can't make. To open your mouth and say, I am the bread that came down from heaven. No matter how crazy you are, there are things you just can't say. Now, what am I saying here? I discovered that bread, this is what I said, after I did my studies, I said, wait, if all my Christianity is in the argument of doctrine, I don't know whether I get my point. Something is wrong. Are you getting my point? Something is wrong. That, listen, I believe so much that indeed the resurrection power of God is with us today. The problem is that we neglected it long ago. Go and read, listen to that message I preached then, what I call the satisfaction of the Father. All right? When God said, I'm not quarreling with you about your offerings and sacrifices, he said, the problem I have is that you don't offer to me a sacrifice of thanksgiving. What is a sacrifice of thanksgiving? I'm not discussing that in detail, but this is what it was saying. There are different kinds of sacrifices. All of them commanded. Offerings you brought at certain times of the day, of the year, for certain reasons. Trespass offerings, wave offerings, this kind, different kind of offering, all right? But sacrifice of thanksgiving was one that you offered because you were happy. I don't know whether I get my point. It wasn't because of a commandment, but because God did something and you said, in gratitude to what he has done, let me go and, all right, give this to him in the temple. He said, that was one thing I didn't used to get. Do you know why? He said, because nobody calls upon me in the time of trouble. Therefore, I don't deliver anybody. Therefore, they don't have any reason to offer to me a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Do you get the point I'm making? You are getting the point I'm trying to explain? What am I saying? God was saying to them, in effect, I'm looking for the opportunity to flex my muscles on your behalf. You know, last time I shared a few testimonies. Let me give you a testimony if one of our brothers had the other day. One of those things that happened. That you see that God is actually watching over you and watching over me. I don't know why I told this story before. It was in a car coming from Abuja to Benin. And one man was beside him on the phone. He was always telling him, please don't travel. Okay, don't worry, come another time. The man said, okay, don't worry. He's like, I didn't want him to travel, but he was traveling. So, that man was sitting right beside this, my guy. And my guy fell asleep. He said the next thing he knew, all right, they were breaking the vehicle so that he could come out. You know, the vehicle had twisted and wrapped everybody everywhere. And the man that was beside him, that his wife was telling him not to travel. My guy is a doctor, right? So, the man's brain was on his body. Blood, brain, everything. So he now said, of course, first thing he did as soon as he came out was to, you know, the way that's how doctors behave, quickly start checking for fractures. Like, he said first thing he did was to try and move his fingers, they moved. Moved his toes, they moved. Spinal cord is together. Checked a few things, everything was all right. And then, of course, he came out. And along the line, they wanted to write something. Maybe write stuff down. So he opened his bag and brought out the first pen. The pen was broken. Okay, brought the second one. The pen was broken. Look for a third one. It was broken. Get my point? The bag with him, everything inside broke. He dislocated his shoulder a bit, and I think he had an injury on his jaw. All right? But otherwise, the man was perfectly alive, and he was well. Now, no, I tell you, there's no accident in life. Nothing happens by accident. All right? I was very grateful to God for him, and we used him as a point of thanksgiving again during our convention, last convention we had. But I'm just telling the story to let us realize again that, indeed, God actually watches over us. You know, they beat Jesus Christ so bad, they said not one bone will be broken. You can imagine somewhere that they walked on. Have you watched Mel Gibson's Render the Passion of the Christ? They worked on that guy. Yes, he said not one bone will break. So much that when they wanted to break the legs on the cross, before they got there, they found that he had died. The reason why they break the legs is so that the support of the leg on the body will give. He will bleed, and then secondly, he won't be able to breathe properly because the hands will be spread out and the whole body will be weighing down. There's a way breathing is. You can't breathe properly if you're hanging like that. Cut the long story short, that's how they will hasten the death so that they can offload the people and close for the day. What I'm saying is that God so orchestrated the events of his life, all right, so that not one bone will be broken. What am I emphasizing again? There are no accidents in life. Do you understand my point? Plagues don't come by accident. They don't come by chance. They are all spiritually determined. And because of the power of the resurrection of Christ Jesus, we have a defense against them. Are you getting me? What are we doing by our prayers? We activate what God has said. All right? The provisions that he has made. Okay? Except we focus on them, give attention to them, they seem not to work in our lives. And I dare to say this, personal experience. The degree of manifestation of God we have, especially in areas like this, is directly, this is my personal experience, and I have scriptures to support it, is directly proportional to the amount of attention we give to the word of God. No, really. That's in that area. It is. It's when if you contemplate something enough, in you it becomes flesh. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Especially when it's a matter of reality, the real power of God, in you it becomes flesh. Look, you don't let what the newspapers and news say every day, all right, be your, don't let them scare you and don't let them be your hope. That they were saying that, why don't tell me? I read it anyway. You know, I read the report that HIV now has a vaccine, and I laugh. It was a lie. It is not true. Don't believe them. It's just after you struggle for 20 years and nothing is working, the first small improvement, you start celebrating it. If they brought that kind of vaccine for maybe hepatitis or polio, nobody will answer them. But you have struggled for everything. So what I'm saying is that's not the hope. They want to develop vaccines to prevent cervical cancer, a cancer of the cervix in women. I said, look, that's not the hope. That one, in fact, that's a long story about that. All right? The vaccine is being designed so that you can continue to live a promiscuous life and not suffer the consequences. That's what those vaccines, that's what they are for. If you read in between the lines, that's all. Because some of those things, if you teach people a moral lifestyle, they don't need them. Do you understand my point? It's like trying to develop a medicine that kills the effect of cigarette smoking. Why now? Well, just stop smoking. Are you mad? Just stop smoking. Why should I use $500 billion developing the tablets that kills the effect of smoking? Why don't I just use half of that money to explain to people why they shouldn't smoke? Let them. Why don't I just ban smoking outright? Now, I'm trying to explain something here. All right? That the world has things they say to us, either as to scare us and to give us hope. All right? But then we don't take any one of them. We don't take their fear. We don't take their hope. We settle in the word of God. Only in the Lord I see all the time, anyways, quoting the scripture, are what? Righteousness and strength. Now, I said that the attention that we give to what God has said about our health decides how much power will be manifested in our lives in fighting that which is being thrown against us in the environment. So, let's read that scripture again. It said that he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging or his stripes, King James says, we are healed. Now, this actually speaks about, you know, there's something that Jesus said when he was at the Last Supper. He said, this is my body that was broken, all right, for you. The sacrifice of Jesus goes beyond just spiritual blessing. But let me say that it starts from there, but actually manifests also in our physical bodies. Now, what are we going to do about a matter of prayer? I want to just tie that with praying without ceasing, and then we'll pray a bit, and then we're out of here. What do we do every day, whether there is a problem or there's no problem? We utter what God has said about our lives, and that is prayer without ceasing. Anytime, let me tell the story that I read somebody tell before, Kennedy Hagin. He said that he read somewhere, I think Reader's Digest, that the older you get, that your memory starts fading as you are aging. And old people say it all the time. There was one old man that we were talking with sometime. He said, you guys should try and remind me of these things. You know, this, I know, with time, you know, I'm getting old. You know, I forget all these things. And then it seeps into your body. You just start imbibing the fact that older people forget. All right? Now, the problem is not about them. It's about you. You're young now, so it's funny. After all, you're only 21, 25, 30. So when you see an 85-year-old man forgetting, you say, Papa has forgotten. And you're laughing. But in your mind, you have accepted that when I hit 80, I'll start forgetting. Anyway, Kenneth Hagin said he read somewhere in which it was that, okay, they told him that as you grow older, you forget. So he began to prepare unconsciously for forgetting as you grow older. Then something happened one day. He was reading the Bible. He was reading the story of Lazarus and the rich man that he used to lie at his gate. And then Abraham said to the guy, son, remember. So he said, wait. These guys were dead. Son, remember. He said, oh, so you don't remember with your physical brain? That if a dead man could remember something, then I don't need my physical brain to remember things. So instantly he said, come on, my memory is not going to fade. And if he heard his last messages, maybe when he was in his 80s, he'll still be telling stories of 60 years ago as if they happened yesterday. Why? Because he rejected something that people were trying to sell to him. There's one I have rejected. That the older you get, you know, you start getting tired and then you can't, no, I plan to run around till I'm 100. And I have reasons for it. It's in the scriptures. Go and see the story of Caleb. At the age of 80, he led a battle to take over a land from giants. And so that Moses won't be worried. He told Moses, you remember 40 years ago, as I was then, so I am today. If you don't believe me, give me a sword. Let me do some Jackie Chan for you. You see it. And that testimony is real. Are you getting the point I'm making? It is possible for a man to grow stronger as he's growing older. I'm not saying it's natural. Do you get my point? It's what the man agrees with. Not whether he goes to the gym. One of the mistakes we make is that we want to use physical methods to get spiritual results. So when you hear like that, so you say, okay, let me start going to the gym so that I won't get weaker. That's not what I'm saying. Listen, if you imbibe that truth and drink it every day and utter it every day, even though you don't remember to go to the gym, all right? What do small boys do to get strong? They just grow. They just eat normally and run about usually. No, be so. I always say the life of the believer is supernatural. And we have to start reaching out for supernatural things. Are you getting my point? You have expectations that, the disease is all over town. I don't get my own. Every January, you know, I always have this headache that does not go away. Let us pray about it. Why not? Just wait now. You don't have to pray about it, but it's February to go. It's my companion for January. It's against the will of God. Are you getting my point? One of the first, no, this is very important. I'm happy that next year we're going to begin a series on titled Christian Basics, all right? We have to go back to this basis of confession. Remember when I was in school? Eh? You know, sometimes you know, I play with somebody and say, man, I done that. You can't say it. Brethren will lynch you, you know what I mean? How can you say, I done that? They say, no, in Jesus' name you are alive. You can't die. No, that's how they answer you. He said, man, I'm in trouble. So how can you be in trouble? When Jesus died to give you peace. So when there's calamity, you say, praise God, I'm a victor. There are challenges right now, brethren. Let me tell you about the challenges. But we are victors. Yeah, no, that was, believe me, that's the good life. And the I done that is you're laughing. Man, this guy won't kill me. Eh? Eh? Amongst my brethren, no, you don't talk that. Who won't kill you? If God be for you, who can be against you? That's the answer they will give you. No, I'm telling you. So that I was just joking. He said, well, Satan doesn't know it's a joke. Don't say before an angel that it was an error. That's what the Bible says. They will quote those things for you. So we're disciplined to talk right.